Well, wasn't that a wonderful time of worship? Yeah, a couple of people are nodding, that's good. All right. Can I ask the stewards, can I invite you forward, please, those who are going to distribute the elements for us this morning? I felt really drawn to Colossians this time, so I thought we'd share a little bit from Colossians. You know, life with Jesus is not about rituals and about observances and about festivals and, you know, doing this and you should do that and you must do this and I ought to do that. That sounds a lot like the Jewish legal system, doesn't it? But Jesus came to set us free, and he came to live within us, not on tablets of stone, but to put his very word within our heart. And so there's this sense of constant awareness of walking with Jesus, of his very spirit infilling and infusing us, a dependency, a minute by minute, day by day, of awareness of Jesus. And that's what he wants us to walk in. And sometimes the circumstances of life seem to trip us up a little bit, don't they? You know, we're more aware of our burdens and our barriers and the things that weigh heavily on our heart. Well, the good news is today, if you haven't already during worship, you can lay them down. You can lay them down and in a place of those things that weigh us down, Jesus will give us his burden, which is light, and his yoke, which is easy. Aren't they liberating words? Forget about duty and obligation and the crack of the whip and the slave master saying, do this and you should do that and you must do this and I ought to do that. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in fact, in serving Jesus, in following his voice, we find freedom, we find peace, we find fulfillment that we can't find any other way. And I've forgotten all about the scripture that I was going to read, so let's get back into that. I'm going to jump down to verse 3 of chapter 1. And Paul's saying basically to the church at Colossae, we always pray for you and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. And as we're thinking about communion, I think, well, let's celebrate this confident hope that we have of what God has reserved for us in heaven. Down to verse 6. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Anyone here got a testimony of a changed life since they found Jesus? It's good to remember what we were like before, isn't it? You know, before we found Jesus, before we found Jesus, or did he find us? I get him sometimes. Maybe I was hiding, you know, and it was like knocking until finally I was willing to hear. But I remember when I was growing up, I was like constantly fearful and worried about, was I doing enough and would I make it and how would I succeed in life and what would I do and what would my life be like and who would I be? And in Jesus, I found freedom from all that striving and expectation. Let's jump down to verse 8. Paul talks about Epaphras, his beloved co-worker, and he says, he has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. Wow. Do you know, the Holy Spirit can put an incredible love for others in our hearts. And frankly, when I consider me, really, you can only really love me if the Holy Spirit gives you that love in the first place, can't you? You can't do it in your own strength. You've got to need God's help. Looking at verse 9, he says, so we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor. Wait, we're having communion this morning. basically, we'll just jump back in as if that didn't happen, okay? Just pretend that never happened. We're still in the zone and we're just quietly thinking about how good Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. So basically saying that God gives us what we need to serve him. He empowers us. He enables us. He's the source, and he's the one who moves through us. He gives us the knowledge. He gives us the spiritual wisdom and understanding by his Holy Spirit. And only in that way can we see that our lives produce the fruit that he wants. Because we don't do it. He does it through us. Isn't that liberating? Isn't that amazing? So striving, cease. And I'm saying this to myself. Striving, stop trying to perform or measure up or achieve or make the grade or make the cut. Stop trying to, you know, be good enough. None of us in our own strength is good enough. Bit of a shock, but Mother Teresa even wasn't good enough. No one is good enough to make the grade. We all get there purely by the mercy and loving grace of the Father found in Jesus. The Father loves us so much. Now, listen to this. This will rock your socks off if you're wearing socks. If you haven't got socks, grab some socks from someone else who's just lost them, put them on, and then they'll go off as well. Okay, verse 11. We also pray you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. That's particularly, I think, to parents, that verse. And the parents laughed then, I think. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. Verse 13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Can anyone say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, if you feel like it, and you don't have to, I know there's some people who might be, for whatever physical reason, it may be difficult for you to stand, but I'd invite you to stand if you're able to. And I'm just going to read through 1 Corinthians 11, just as we take the bread and the wine together, and then we'll pray afterwards, okay? For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together as we remember what he's done for us. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this for every time you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's drink the cup. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the incredible sacrifice that you freely gave of yourself on the cross for us. You took our sin, you took our burdens, and you did it for us while we were yet sinners, while we were far away from you. You paid the price completely and in full. No one is so good that he or she does not need it. And no one is so bad that they can't have their sins forgiven and washed away because you paid the price perfectly. Every burden that we have, Lord. We surrender to you. We lay it at the foot of the cross. And we receive your peace. We receive your mercy. We receive your joy. And we know that it can only come from you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to be together. It's good to be together and to worship in a variety of ways this morning. One of them being worship in song as we sing praises. It was a precious time. Very warm welcome, especially if you are a visitor with us today. Please join us for a cuppa after the service. And the good news is that there are barista-made coffees available for the measly price of $3. The funds help us with the building development program that we're working on, so please enjoy that. All right, Mary and Jono, you've both got announcements. So if you want to head up here. Yeah. All right, ladies first.
Thanks. Good morning, church, and especially very big good morning to all the ladies. You may have noticed in the ladies, in the loop, we've been advertising a ladies' fine china get together next Saturday, it is, and it's from 2 to 4. We're inviting all you ladies, everybody, and bring a friend if you wish. You don't have to RSVP, no. Try a girlfriend today. and so we would just love to get together and bring your fine china, and whether you wish to use it or whether you wish to just set it in front of you, and I'm sure there's some many stories, wonderful stories of the history of that fine china. We would love to hear a few of those being shared around, either around the table, or we're going to invite a few of you to get up and share the wonderful story that you've journeyed with your fine china. So really look forward to seeing all the ladies from 2 till 4 next Saturday. Thank you.
Cool. Okay, I have two things. Firstly, it is the second week in the month next week, which means a bunch of us are going down to Golden Beach and we're having a nice barbecue. So if you'd like to join us, please feel free to. It's a great day of fellowship down there. So just straight after church at about 12 o'clock, we head down Golden Beach in front of Roy Street and cook up some sausages and buy fish and chips and, you know, just have a nice time. There you go. Oh, that's fine. That's actually me doing something for Mother's Day. Does that count, Mum? So. Awesome. So, my second thing is that on the 19th and 20th of August, we are having a church camp. It's been a while. So, guys, there is a lovely camp up at Mapleton, up on the range there. We'll be going up there for 2 days. David Tenson will be coming and doing a couple of talks there. We're having a nice time of fellowship, worship, and we'll probably end up doing a few activities. So, we'll find out who's afraid of heights and stuff like that. So it'll be about $90 for the 2 days, but it should be a really good time up there. Fellowship, great food, great people, good God.
So when is that?
The 19th, 20th of August.
19th, 20th of August. That's a Saturday morning to a Sunday afternoon. All right, so put that...
If you want to tell me, my email...
All right. Thanks for the reminder of Mother's Day, Jenny. That's good. Appreciate that. Just kidding. Got my kids onto it already. Just go and buy something. Yeah. Nah, just kidding. Awesome. Hey, I'm going to take a seat. Is that cool? I climbed Mount Tibragorgan for the first time on Monday. And wow, yeah, I am. It's just the usual side, the common one. I'm not sure which one is that, but it was pretty scary. Have any of you been up there? Wow, yeah, okay. I was so sore the next day. So that's why I'm sitting. No, just kidding. Next month is quite exciting because as a church, we are going to be doing a course or a series together called Fruitfulness on the Frontline. And we do it in small groups. I know some of you are not yet in a small group. And we hope to, just for those four Sundays, it's a four-session course over the month of June. And hopefully you can plug into a group, even if it's just for those 4 weeks. I know how difficult it is with families, with young kids, to make a weeknight group. And it's pretty full on. So what I'm throwing out there is the opportunity, particularly for young families, but also for anyone here that cannot engage with a group during the week. We're going to meet after church on a Sunday for those four Sundays. We're going to have lunch together. It's just going to be a potluck. And then we're going to do the course together. And the kids have an opportunity to hang upstairs and just be, we all have lunch together. So it's a really great course, and it's really encouraging us to be intentional about listening to God on our front lines, wherever we are, at work, at uni, wherever we rub shoulders with those that are yet to come into a relationship with Christ. Here's just a little taster of what the course is. That's good. Here we go.
When Jesus says, go into all the world, I wonder, what comes to mind? Maybe some teeming, steaming city far away. Maybe some remote sun-drenched tropical island. Maybe. But for now, what if there's also
all right,
a mission
there we go.
Right under your nose?
Okay, well, you got the audio. Yeah, that's a good start. I'm not sure why that's happening. Maybe we can fix that later, and I can show you near the end. Let's just try. All right. Won't you just quiet and settle the busy workshops of our hearts and our minds? You long to speak. You long for us to be transformed, to step into your will and purposes for us. Just looking, I've managed to find it, a verse in one of the songs that we sung this morning from the first song, This I Believe. In verse 2, it says these words, which we sung this morning, our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life, forever seated high. You know, God declared his forgiveness for mankind through his Son, Jesus Christ. But having free will, and we have the choice whether to accept his forgiveness. And we accept it by coming into relationship with him through the living Christ, by believing in our hearts that he is Savior and Lord, and by surrendering our lives to him. And when we do, we are accepting his declared forgiveness over us. And friends, we can know, we can experience God's forgiveness. And in relationship with him, he constantly is expressing to us, son, daughter, you are completely and unconditionally loved, accepted, and forgiven. And when we step out of line with God's will and purposes for us, which we do, we're not perfect. We can remember that truth, friends. And we can come unashamedly to God who declares that we are loved, accepted, and forgiven, we can come unashamedly to Him in confession and repentance. Because we have been forgiven. Friends, we don't hide in the dark. In the dark, there is doubt, there is shame, there is self-pity, there is blame. We can come before the throne of grace without shame. And God empowers us and gives us the wisdom to realign with His will and purposes for us. He is so welcoming, friends. He's so embracing. Praise the Lord. And friends, we remember this. We remember these truths as we think about forgiveness, forgiving others. Colossians 3:12. So of those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You know, forgiveness, as I mentioned this last week, forgiveness is about releasing to God the indebtedness and the hurt emotion that resulted from someone's wrongdoing and surrendering our right to hold judgment against them, allowing Him to be their judge and their jury. And last week I shared with you the story of Louis Zamperini. And Louis grew up as a talented athlete. I'll just give you a recap of the story. And he managed to get into the Olympic team in 1936 Berlin Games. He went there, and then shortly after, 3 years later, we know the war began, World War II, and he was enlisted. He enlisted himself in the Army Air Corps. They were doing a reconnaissance flight over the ocean, and their plane crashed. Out of the 11, there were 3 survivors. He spent 47 days out in the ocean on a life raft. Unfortunately, one of the 3 passed away during that time. They washed up on a beach only to discover that the island was occupied by the Japanese. So the next leg of his journey began as a prisoner of war. He was taken to Japan and spent about 3 years in different concentration camps. And a prisoner of war camps, actually. And obviously, what went on there was horrific in these camps. He was tortured. And he was singled out by one of the sergeants in one of the last prisoner of war camps, a guy called Watanabe, who the prisoners nicknamed as the Bird. And he singled out Louis because he found out that he was Olympic champion, and he could be used as propaganda for the war. Praise God, Louis survived the war, went back to the States, and then began a whole nother journey for him. Due to the trauma he experienced over that time of the war, he got into the drink, and he became very depressed. Until got to the stage where his wife said, no, this is it. Cannot take this. I'm going to start filing for divorce. Anyway, a young guy called Billy Graham started his crusades. So his wife attended one of those and came to the Lord, found freedom. And she said to Louis, listen, I'm going to withdraw that application for divorce. You know, I believe that God has something for you too. Won't you come to the crusade with me? And he reluctantly went the one night. Billy Graham was preaching, and he just said, oh, this is too much for me. So he walked out, couldn't handle it. Somehow he went back the next night, and Billy Graham was reminding him of scriptures. And while he was out on that life raft, he prayed and said, God, if you deliver me from this, I will serve you for the rest of my life. A heart cry in the midst of great struggle, which often people had. And he was convicted and he remembered those prayers and he gave his heart to the Lord. And he tells a story of how instantly, and God doesn't always do it this way, but for Louis it was. He was instantly healed and stuff in his heart from all the trauma that he experienced. He'd also been having nightmares every night from the war, and that was the last time he had a nightmare. And he knew that he had forgiven those soldiers and the prisoner of war guards. And God led him to go over to Japan and to speak to those guards and to tell them that he'd forgiven them. And some of them gave their hearts to the Lord. But this is one of his quotes about forgiveness. That's him when he was young in the Olympic Games. And they've actually made a movie, Unbroken, about his life. Now I'm going to, there we go. Go back. This is what he said. That's when... yeah, he carried the torch in the Winter Olympic Games. He died at the age of, is it 94 or 97? 2014, he passed away. And this is what he said. I think the hardest thing in life is to forgive. Hate is self-destructive. If you hate somebody, you're not hurting the person you hate. You're hurting yourself. It's a healing, actually. It's a real healing. Forgiveness. I just love redemptive stories like this. This morning, I've got a couple of others, but I also want to just highlight some principles of forgiveness. Many of you here, especially if you've been journeying a long time, will know these principles, but maybe just a reminder will be helpful. Some of you here will go, wow, I didn't realize that about forgiveness. And that's really helpful. The first is this, friends, about forgiving others. Oops, go back. Forgiveness is first and foremost about the healing of the heart. Friends, one can still experience forgiveness in their heart, even if they no longer have any contact with the other person that wronged, that sinned against them or are unable to express it to them. You can still experience forgiveness in the heart. It's a heart issue first and foremost. It's therefore not dependent on the other person asking for it. The other person doesn't have to ask you for forgiveness, nor is it dependent on the other person even being aware of the hurt that they caused you. It's a heart issue. Issue of your heart, and you can experience it. Secondly, forgiveness is a choice. It's an act of the will. And friends, it can be a process for many people, especially if that wounding, that hurt, that resentment is deep-seated in your heart because of the wrongdoing someone's done to you. You know, we sometimes have to start forgiving with gritted teeth. Without experiencing any emotion. And then the more we do, the more that release comes and emotional freedom is experienced. We may even need to start by asking God to make us willing to be willing to forgive. It's often a process, but friends, it is a choice. It's an act of the will. But following on from that, even though it's a choice, an act of the will, forgiveness is a work of God's grace in our hearts. He empowers us to release and pardon. That's ultimately what happens. Some of you will, many of you will know the story of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker. And with her family, they were Christians, and along with her father and her family, they just saved the lives of many Jews because they helped them to escape during the Holocaust in World War II. And as a result of hiding Jews in their home and helping them to escape, they were imprisoned. And she's got a book called The Hiding Place. Any of you read the book called The Hiding Place? Many of you had. If you haven't, I encourage you to get it. It describes those events. And she wrote another quite a few books after that. And one of them is entitled, I'm Still Learning to Forgive. I'm still learning to forgive. Because it can be a process. And in the book, she relates the story of when she encountered one of the guards of her concentration camp directly after she had given a presentation to a group of people about God's love and His forgiveness. And this is just her description of what happened. Hopefully there we go.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, "Ah, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?" And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel aufseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either, but he can.
It's a work of God's grace, friends. And He who empowers us to release and pardon. I'll just read a little bit more about that account. And I stood there, I whose sins have been forgiven, and I could not forgive. My sister Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? Could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion, I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You have to supply the rest, God. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, my brother," I cried with all of my heart. The next principle of forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't excuse or justify the offense sin someone committed against us, or remove their personal accountability. Forgiving someone else doesn't let them off the hook, but it does let them off our hook. Yeah? And this is evident in this story. A man who went to jail for life for his actions. Forgiveness didn't excuse or justify his offense, but someone let him off their hook.
On November 5th, 2003, all doubt of Ridgway's guilt was erased. He pleaded guilty to the murders of 48 women. He'd made a deal to cooperate with the prosecution to provide more information on his victims and the whereabouts of their remains. In doing so, he avoided a trial and possible death penalty.
Mr. Ridgway, how do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count one for the death of Wendy Lee Caulfield?
Guilty.
How do you plead to the charge of aggravated murder in the first degree as charged in count two?
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
It's like he didn't have any remorse at all for what he had done. You know, he'd killed so many people, he didn't remember who they were, what they looked like. I just couldn't believe that somebody could kill all those people and not remember them.
Neither could the angry relatives of his victims, who were invited to speak in court when Ridgway was sentenced to life without parole on December 18th, 2003.
You had said your memory, when it comes to all of the women you took, was gone. Our memory is not. In your words, you said that they didn't mean anything to you, but she meant everything to us.
She was a mother, she was a wife, she was a sister, and we miss her.
Gary Ridgway sat there stone-faced as victims' relatives damned him and mocked him.
He's an animal. I wish for him to have a long, suffering, cruel death.
He's gonna go to hell, and that's where he belongs.
But then the emotionless facade finally cracked when the father of one of his victims appeared to surprise him with a dose of human kindness.
Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and it is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir.
Where possible, appropriate and God-led. I'm not sure if those are the exact adjectives to use, but forgiveness is something we are encouraged to express to another. As Louis did, but that was really God-led. It was possible, it was appropriate. Sometimes it's not, for various reasons. But we're encouraged to do that, because the reality is God may bring about a change in that person within the limits of their free will, obviously. Or it has the potential to lead to reconciliation. Friends, if we harbor unforgiveness, we essentially put ourselves in prison. That's what we do. As someone once said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. There's another story that's been put to a song by a guy called Matthew West. I wonder if you could flick Andre to a Google slide. Just going to play this.
Over the past few years, I've been on this journey of writing songs inspired by the real life stories that people sent to me. This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It hit me kind of hard. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. Renee wrote to me and said, "I now have a mission that I never would have chosen." What she meant by that is that in the years that follow, she began to travel around to schools and churches and different functions, and she would speak about the dangers of drunk driving. But as the years progressed, she felt like something was missing from her presentations. And that's when God put it on her heart that she had not forgiven this man who took the life of her daughter. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, "I forgive you." The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, "I can't even forgive myself," and she forgave me. Eric said he found his eternal salvation as a result of this act. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years. This blew me away. And the reason she did it is so that Eric could have a second chance at life and so that he could join her in their presentations. She told me that now she shares not only about the dangers of drunk driving, but also about the power of forgiveness.
Now, the story behind this song is from someone right here in our area. We're going to let her tell the story. She won't know you're here. Are you comfortable with hiding?
Thanks, Andre.
I'm comfortable.
You could just cut it deep.
I'm nervous right
Me
now.
Me too.
Andre?
She's
no idea. Sorry.
She has no idea I'm here.
Yeah,
no.
She doesn't even,
and this is the thing, she has no idea that there's been a song written inspired by her story.
Matthew West wrote a song following that story, and we're just going to listen to it now. It's called Forgiveness, and it really just highlights the principles that I've been talking about. And what I want us to do is just to reflect as it's being played. And I know that Kath this morning has already asked us to examine our hearts, but maybe this morning you're really struggling to forgive someone. And, you know, it's a process sometimes. And as I said, sometimes, maybe this morning, you all you want to say is, "God, make me willing. Make me willing to be willing. I just want to walk that path into freedom. I want my heart to be healed." Let's just reflect on this.
Thing to give away, and the last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. In the face of all your pride, it moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It'll clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed.
Bike soon. It's all right. You get the gist of it. Won't the worship team come up? Let's just keep our hearts in quiet reflection. Father God, I want to thank you for precious work that you are doing in our hearts. Oh Lord, help us to be open to your surgery. We want to live from a heart that you gave us, a heart of wholeness, of freedom. And Lord, I just pray for people here this morning that if they're really struggling with forgiveness, that as they seek your face, you would make them willing, that you would embrace them, that they would find the healing in you. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've done in many people's lives here. As they've journeyed with you, they've found that healing, they've experienced that forgiveness, that release. I thank you for that. I thank you for the work that you've done in so many lives here. Thank you for the testimonies and the stories that are in this place this morning. Help us to be open to that work. We're just going to sing "What a Beautiful Name," because it's in the name of Jesus where we find that healing and that restoration. I'm just going to ask people on the prayer team, if you would just come to the side. You know, maybe you've really been challenged this morning. You have a burden about something. It doesn't need to just be forgiveness. It can be for anything. Well, I encourage you, you might just want to sit where you are, you might want to stand where you are and sing this song, but allow God's work to take place in your heart. You might want to pray with someone, go for it. Love to pray and encourage you in that way. But just turn your eyes upon Jesus as we sing about his awesome name, as we declare his goodness towards us. Friends, I declare over you, as God does this morning, that you are completely and unconditionally loved, accepted, and forgiven. Whether you have stepped into relationship with him or not, friends, he draws you near. Like the father that embraces that son in the scripture and the parable, who runs to him, so your heavenly father will do that if you run to him. Let's just spend some time doing that this morning.